It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Andy Conti from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, sitting in for Paul Guggenheimer. Later in the program, we'll go on a journey of self-discovery with Michael Mervosh, co-founder of the Hero's Journey Foundation, and learn what's in store at this year's holiday market. But first, my colleague Chris Togneri spent the past 6 months tracking down the victims of gun violence, specifically talking with people who have taken a bullet and who still have it lodged in their body. More than 100,000 Americans are shot by bullets each year. About 75,000 survive, and an old untold number carry the shrapnel for the rest of their lives. Chris Togneri joins us in Studio A, and joining us by phone is retired police detective Jeff Smith, one of the people profiled in Chris's article. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me.
Chris, let's Jeff, thanks for coming on. Chris, let's begin with you. How did you get turned on to this topic in the first place?
You know, it really just started with a question. I think in the media we do a lot of good work covering shooting violence and victims and shooters. But it just – I started thinking about the people who not only are shot but who then survive and then for the rest of their lives live with this thing that was meant to or easily could have killed them somewhere within their bodies. And I just wondered. I thought, what – do they form relationships with these bullets? What do they think about the bullet that is inside of them? And how do they deal with the fact that they're carrying this thing with them forever?
Detective Smith, what do you say? I mean, in terms of the story, you talked about the impact of the bullet felt like a sledgehammer. Can you tell us a little bit about what happened to start out with?
Well, my partner and I were out that night, and we worked in the area of Lower Hill, West Oakland, on complaints of prostitution. And we came across a little male dressed as a female, got him in the car, made the deal, and he managed to get out of the car. As I dove across, I tried to grab him, and my radio and my work cell phone fell out of my pocket. And I ended up chasing him down the street. And that's when I really discovered his mail. I said, no female is that fast. And, so the chase was on.
And so when you were shot by the bullet, where did it end up lodging in your body, and how often do you still think about it?
I don't think about it much. It's in my chest cavity. It's in my right in the middle and on the side of my right. I'm just trying to describe. This is in the center of my chest on the right side.
And are you? You say you don't think about it much, but are you bitter about the bullet or angry about it?
No, I'm not bitter about it. You know, that goes with the territory. And I don't feel sorry for myself. My goodness, I look at the story. I look at Tiana and Ace and what amazing people they are and wheelchairs and what they have done. And I just look at it, okay, it was a setback in life. Let's get back on that horse and let's get going.
Chris, how about for you when you got into this story? You talked about you know, how you came into it, but were you surprised by what you found when you got into the story and started talking with people who still carry the bullets with them?
I was very surprised. I expected to find something completely different. And in fact, at one point I sat down with Ace Pippins, who was the last person that I spoke to of the four. And I asked him, I said, Ace, I came into this thinking that people were going to have some sort of a relationship, a sense of animosity towards that bullet, that they didn't want it inside of their bodies. But I haven't found that yet. All of you seem to just completely accept that this is now a part of you. And I wondered why I was wrong, why my original thought had proven to be so untrue. And he said, you know, what can you do? It's inside of you. It's like Tiana said, Tiana Lachey. It's like having a finger. You might not like the way your finger looks or a certain part of your body, but it is now a part of your body. And that to me was a surprise. I thought that everyone who I profiled would have a much more a sense of not wanting it in them, but none of them had that sense. They all seemed to say, this happened, get up, deal with it, and move forward.
Detective Smith, I want to ask you one of the questions that Chris asked some of the other people in this piece. If you could get to your bullet and you could take it out, what would you do with it? Would you throw it out or would you do something else with it?
I don't know what I'd do with it. I don't know. Probably end up in a drawer. You know, what am I going to do with it? You know, wear it as jewelry? I don't think so. It's just, it's there. Maybe my kids will want it. I don't know.
Chris, what did other people tell you about that?
I actually, during that conversation with Ace, I asked him that. I said, if medical advancements come along and they're able to pull that bullet out of your – because Ace Pippen's bullet is lodged against his spine. If they could remove it someday, what would you do with it? And he immediately smiled and he said he would wear it around his neck because it becomes a part of you. And so I remember when he said that he would wear it around his neck, I said, so you do form a relationship with this bullet. Maybe I wasn't wrong after all. Maybe – as long as it's inside of you and you can't get to it, you have to have a mind frame of it's there, deal with it. But if you could get it out, then it becomes something different. Then it becomes something you wear around your neck and you remember that this thing was inside of me. This thing was lodged up against my spine and it became a part of me, but now it's out.
That's interesting that he wanted to hang on to the bullet if he could. This is Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Andy Conti sitting in for Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking with Tribune Review reporter Chris Todnieri and retired Pittsburgh Police Detective Jeff Smith, who was shot while on duty in 2007. Chris, one of my favorite parts about your story, which appeared in Sunday's Tribune Review, was where you talked with State Representative Dom Costa, and he talked about how he has a bullet lodged at the base of his brain, but that's not the one that he thinks about. He thinks about the one that whizzed past his ear. Why do you think that is, and can you talk a little bit about what happened in his case?
The bullet that is lodged at the base of Representative Costa's brain entered through his shoulder. And he never considered that bullet to be a fatal wound. He didn't think that that was the bullet that was going to kill him. But he does remember when the gun, when the gunfire began, one bullet came so close that he felt it against his ear. And that's the bullet that he thinks about more because that's the bullet that easily could have killed him. The bullet that hit his shoulder hit off a bone, hit off a tissue, changed trajectory, went, very fortunately, went past his spine without hitting his spine and up into his neck. And it took doctors a while to find it, but once they did, they realized that he had a bullet at the base of his brain and it was going to stay there. So that just, the bullet that went past his head was the one that could have ended things immediately. And that's the one that he thinks about.
Detective Smith, I can imagine the one question you get asked a lot, and I'd like to know what you think. What is it like when you go through airport security? Does that come up? Do people find the bullet then?
No, they don't. It's so small, lodged deep inside, under your layers of your skin, inside your chest cavity, that it's virtually undetectable.
Okay. Chris, can you talk a little bit about why the doctors end up leaving bullets in patients? Why don't they just take them out?
Retrieving the bullet can cause more damage than leaving it in. When I spoke with Dr. Alarcon at UPMC, he explained that when the bullet goes inside, what will happen if it's too difficult to remove and if it's in a safe place, what will happen is that the body will form a sort of cocoon around it, a protective barrier. So the risk of lead poisoning and other issues really drops. It's not very serious. If it's somewhere, in Ace Pippen's case or in Tiana Lachey's case where the bullets are either in or lodged against their spine, removing it can cause way more damage. It can even cause death. So in their cases, the bullets are staying there. Jeff Smith's case, opening up his chest cavity isn't worth it. I mean, why? Because the bullet is in there, but it's now got this sort of layer around it. It's not going anywhere. It's not causing any damage, so there's no point in going in and getting it.
And are there any complications from having the bullet in there? Apparently a lot of them are actually made from lead, right? So is that a hazard? And what are the other hazards of having a bullet lodged somewhere inside your body?
Well, you can't get an MRI, that's for sure, because the magnetism could heat it up or could pull it. It can move it inside of your body. I think that, and Jeff can speak to this as well, there are certainly some lingering effects. You've been shot. So obviously you've been through a very traumatic experience. In Representative Costa's case, he speaks about continuing headaches, weakness with his grip. Jeff, I don't know, you talk about problems in your upper back and neck, correct?
Yeah, I had problems with spasms and that, and I just can't lean over certain ways. I cannot longer lift weights, it's caused me, things to do that, I used to do that I can't do. You just adjust and try to do different things for it. And, you know, everybody has this problem, and you never want to feel sorry for yourself. But, you know, you just start feeling sorry for yourself. Look around. There's a lot of people that are a lot worse off than you are. And I sometimes say it makes you stronger, builds a little character. And people ask me about the Bulls. I say, that's my new best friend. He's with me for life.
I'd like to add that that is one common theme that I found with all four of the shooting victims that I spoke to. Everyone, I should say nobody, wanted anyone to feel sorry for them. Everyone accepted what happened to them and moved on. In the case of Ace Pippins, he said he spent years feeling sorry for himself until he got to the point where he said, no matter how sorry you are, it's not going to change anything, so you have to deal with it. Tiana Lachey went to the extreme reversal. It took her years to accept that she was a paraplegic and that she was in and out of the hospital. And today, she thinks that being shot and having endured everything that she has endured needed to happen, that it's the best thing that could have happened because it created her and allowed her to evolve into the person that she is today.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Andy Conti, sitting in for Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking with Tribune Review reporter Chris Tugnieri. We're talking about a story that he had in the front page of Sunday's newspaper. We're also talking with retired police detective Jeff Smith, who was shot while on duty in 2007. Chris, I'm curious what you think about guns, what you learned from, you know, there are no bullets lodged in people without guns. And did you come away with a different perspective of gun control in the United States or what should be done about, you know, guns being in the hands of people who fired in these cases?
You know, I purposely stayed away from anything political with this story. I didn't want to cloud the issue with commentary on gun control or how on any of that. I didn't want it to be political at all. I wanted this story to be strictly people and their bullets. To me, that's what this story is entirely about, and I felt that to bring in any sort of political agenda or any sort of political point of view would cloud the issue. So I purposely chose not to do that.
How about for you, Detective Smith? I mean, carrying a gun was part of your job as a Pittsburgh police detective. How did getting shot change the way you looked at your weapon and the way that people deal with guns?
I've always had guns. I grew up around guns. I grew up 150 miles north of here. I hunted, I fished. I always had access to guns. And I became a police officer. And, you know, that was just a tool. Like somebody has a, you know, has a pen for work. Well, I had a gun. And, you know, 99% of the time you forgot it's there. And my opinions haven't changed. It's just, you know, no matter what you do, bad guys are going to have guns. You can make laws and say it's illegal, but that's a bad guy. And he's going to have a gun.
And you're retired now, but do you still keep guns?
Oh, yes.
And do you think about it any differently when you go to fire your gun, or is it not something that comes into your mind?
It doesn't come in my mind. I just, you know, I never let this be who I am. You know, it's just something that happened to me. Okay, let's step back, reevaluate, and let's move forward. As I said in the article to Chris, you know, I got to come home. That's huge. You know, Paul Shulo, Stephen Mealy, Eric Kelly, they didn't come home that day.
Those are the Pittsburgh police officers who were killed in the line of duty.
Yes, yes, in April 2009. And you also look at, you know, here's Morgan Jenkins, who was shot a year and a half ago. He's still in a wheelchair out at 5. Jimmy Kuzak, who was shot, and, you know, these people are amazing. They don't let us identify who they are. They press on with life. And they don't, you know, it's not how they identify themselves.
How did you feel, Detective Smith, whenever Chris called you and said he wanted to do a story about your bullet?
I was interested in what the story is about. I liked the angle that he brought up. And I guess the main thing I like about the story is just hearing, I've known Dom for 25 years, but hearing Tiana and Ace and how amazing they are. And, there are some people who are paraplegics in the wheelchair, but they're their thing for their life, their gust for life is amazing to me. And I really enjoyed that part of the article.
I'd like to add, it was a strange story to pitch at times. The first call was to Dom Costa's office because everyone knows about Dom Costa's bullet. And I called and I spoke with his office manager, Anita. I didn't really know how to explain myself. I said, Dom Costa has a bullet inside of his body and I'd like to talk to him about what he thinks about having that bullet inside of his body. I know this is weird, but this is the story that I would like to write. And she laughed a little bit and said, I'll get back to you. And it wasn't long. I think it was that same day that she called and said, he'll talk to you right now. And I drove over to his office and we talked for an hour. When I spoke with Ace Pippins about it, you know, he said that he was shot over 20 years ago. Nobody had ever asked him about what he thought about the bullet. People asked him what he thought about being a paraplegic, what he thought about the person who shot him. But nobody had ever asked him, and he had never thought about what his relationship was with the bullet. So it was a strange story to pitch at times. And I know that when I was interviewing Jeff, there was one point where he said that he would prefer that I profile other police officers who have it worse than him because he walked away.
Guys, this has been a great discussion. Thanks for coming in. Chris Tugnieri and Jeff Smith, thank you for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up, why are people from around the world coming to the region to discover their inner hero? Psychologist Michael Mervosh, co-founder of the Pittsburgh-based nonprofit The Hero's Journey Foundation, explains. I'm Andy Conti, in for Paul Guggenheimer, and you're listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.